Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business. From liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way. From design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/Green Festival.
This is Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Tim Stenovec on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, I want to start big broadly. The global luxury wines and spirits market is driven by factors such as the growth in interest in premium and unique products, the rise in demand for organic and sustainable products, and the popularity of experiential. And it generated more than $229 billion in 2021, anticipated to generate nearly $415 billion by 2031, a compound annual growth rate of about 6.2% from that time period, or from 2022 to 2031. That's from Allied Market Research. So big market, we know. We all drank a lot during the pandemic. We're still kind of figuring out what normal is post-pandemic. So let's get to it, because we have a perfect guest who is a front seat to this industry. Delighted to have with us Anne McKergee. She is CEO of Pernod Ricard North America, and as I said, joining us here in studio. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
So great to be here, Carol.
I love your background. I didn't even know this term, FMCG, fast-moving consumer goods space.
Yes.
So you've worked at Kraft Foods, sales, marketing, general management, PepsiCo, SC Johnson, really senior roles, global chief marketing officer, global chief commercial officer at SC Johnson, president global snacks and global insights at PepsiCo. What the heck makes something a fast-moving consumer goods? Like, I get it with alcohol, baby, but what makes it that?
Well, what's interesting is alcohol is actually not FMCG. It's just CPG. Fast is like stuff that just flies off in a grocery store, like Lay's potato chips, 1,000 units per store per week. That's fast.
Oh my God. So it's, how do you then think about like something marketing, sales, that kind of a good, or do you even have to, because it just moves so quickly?
It would just move so quickly. So, yeah. Whereas in spirits, we don't move 1,000 units per store per week, but yeah. You know, but we have very high price points. So even we might move not that fast, we make a lot of money.
Yeah, and I got to cut right to the chase.
Yeah.
Screwball whiskey.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated with
yes.
it. For those who are unfamiliar, it's peanut butter flavored whiskey. I picture a commercial, you know, you got whiskey in my peanut butter. And I'm like, you got peanut butter. Now, I know you guys acquired the
yes,
brand.
We did.
I can't help but think, though, if some, you know, an R&D person in your company had come up with that, what your reaction would be. Because it doesn't sound like something that would be a success, kind of a surprising success.
Exactly. It's like nobody thought people needed wheels on suitcases, but here we are. We're all using them. So,
yeah.
You know, Screwball Whiskey, first of all, it's what an incredible gem, right? It was, before we bought it, the third fastest growing independent brand
yeah.
behind Tito's and Casa Azul. That's, mm-hmm. it's mm-hmm. amazing.
Yeah.
And the founders, who are amazing people, right? They gave their heart and soul into that brand. And the reason that the brand even existed was the founder, Steve. He is from Cambodia and came through refugee camps, et cetera, et cetera. I'm going to make a long story short.
No, it's a really fascinating story. I'm actually glad you touched into it, because the story is interesting.
Oh, my God, it's a beautiful story. So comes from Cambodia. He has polio. His parents do everything to get him here. They live in refugee camps. Finally, they come to Houston, and the very first thing they give him is a peanut butter sandwich.
I love it.
And for him, peanut butter represents freedom. And so he has this passion about peanut butter.
Right.
And, you know, then he gets into the restaurant business, and he takes Jameson, coincidentally, and takes peanut butter and, like, puts the two together and creates Screwball. And this thing is, it's electric. It went on fire. And the reason why is because the United States consumer, A, loves flavored whiskey. number one.
Yeah.
Number two, we have a very sweet palate versus the rest of the world.
Agreed.
So when people drink peanut butter whiskey with Screwball, they're like, and then they put it in their mouth and they go, oh my God, that's amazing.
That was my reaction. Well, you hear about it and you're like, wait, what? And then you try it and it's like, oh, yeah.
We had...
Where you been all my life?
We had the founders of Duke and Dame salted caramel whiskey.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the same thing. We're like, I don't get it. They actually brought us some liquor. I'm just going to put it out there. But no. But it was really interesting. I tasted it.
I'm like, no.
I'm really not. But I mean, because I don't like whiskey. I like bourbon.
Yeah.
But I don't like whiskey. And... like that, just what it did to the tone in it. That's exactly what you were talking about.
Yeah.
So people are playing. Is it easier to acquire versus play around in the lab?
You know, we do both, right?
Because
the other, you know, flavored whiskey that's been a huge success for us has been Jameson Orange.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole trend around old fashions and citrus and whiskey. And and unlike other kind of flavored whiskeys, Jameson is very whiskey forward. But when you smell it, you smell the rind of the orange.
Love it.
You put it in your mouth, you taste that whiskey and that orange aftertaste. It's just heaven. So there's becoming more kind of, I would say, artisan, more invention around flavored whiskey. So we do both.
What's the premium on acquisitions right now? Because I feel like these specialty liqueurs and people who are experimenting, coming up with something different, they're in, people want them. Companies want them.
They really do. And I would tell you, it's kind of all over the board.
Yeah.
And I would tell you, because tequilas have exploded, some of the recent acquisitions.
Is it too much?
It's too much.
No offense. Celebrities love you. George Clooney loved you. But I mean, it feels like everybody's creating a tequila.
They are. And what really matters is quality tequila. That's where we are now, right? That's what's going to win in the end. So we just bought Codigo, which is a very high-end, super premium. It's got this rosé, believe it or not, rosé tequila. Oh, wait till you put it in your mouth. So it's now about
Doesn't
being...
have to go in a margarita.
No, it does not. Actually, I'll tell you about what could go into a margarita that you wouldn't expect. But I'll come to that in a second.
Is it peanut butter?
No, it's mezcal.
Del Maguey
mezcal, which is the number one mezcal, which is ours. But you make a margarita with it, and it's got that little extra smoke. It's unbelievable.
I have to get it for my brother. He's a great margarita maker.
Oh, this is
Bill,
it, right?
If you're listening.
Yes. And so I will tell you, now is the time for, I mean, people just love to experiment.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's post-COVID, right? Because people, like, they were, you know, making cocktails at home. Experiential. It's all about the experience. And so having that right portfolio, making sure you're on the trend of all the things that are growing is really, really critical.
It, you know, and over the years, consolidation has been such a big theme in the beverage industry. You know, all the beer companies getting rolled up until we have two majors. I'm kind of surprised to see this Brown-Forman news today. They're selling the Finlandia vodka brand.
Would you want it? No, okay.
We have absolute. No, we
have
the best.
I was just going to say.
But is the big deal making in this space? Has it run its course? Have all the big deals that can be done, have they been done? And now it's looking for these new growth, small batch type of things?
Well, no, I think you're going to see it in both areas. So it did not surprise me about the deal today with Coke. You have to understand, both Coke and Pepsi, right, having worked at PepsiCo, you know, these are much narrower margin businesses.
Yeah.
A lot of the carbonated soft drinks business is declining. So these people are looking for new profit pools.
Yeah.
So you're seeing a lot of these companies try to get into the alcohol business.
Yeah.
And, you know, Coke went early with Topo Chico and, you know, and so Pepsi's gone with Mountain Dew. And so they're now.
Does it make sense to you to bolt on liquor onto a soft drink company?
So let me put it this way. I love competition. Okay.
Yeah.
We're about to do Absolute ready to drink with Ocean Spray. Like it's like the biggest thing. Every retailer.
I want ready to drink.
Oh yeah.
I want to talk about that when we come back.
But here's the thing. The reason they're getting into it is because they need more profit. They need more margin.
Yeah.
And what's interesting about vodka right now in the industry is it's declining. The only thing that's grown is Tito's.
Really?
Yeah, it's declining. Anything that's white is declining. Gin, vodka, rum, all declining.
Huh.
Okay?
Huh.
And so what's happening is you've got the spirit company saying, oh, I don't want to be in there. And so, but you've got these you know, soft drink companies are like, I want to get in.
Right.
What I would say, because I'm about to take over as chairman of Discus, which is the trade association, and I've said this to some of my friends at PepsiCo, do it responsibly. I cannot tolerate under any circumstances brands coming in, you know, and using kid packaging, advertising in the kids' aisle, it's unacceptable. And it, you know, we have a responsibility as an industry.
We've seen it with electronic cigarettes, right? Come on,
oh,
folks. Like,
yes.
Own it up, do the responsible thing.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. You need a company with extensive experience in specialized insurance. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and helping provide coverage that suits your needs. The Hartford offers insurance solutions that help mid to large-sized businesses, like yours, effectively manage risk, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. With extensive experience in underwriting, risk engineering services, and claims, The Hartford goes beyond the expected to deliver innovative, customizable solutions and service that your industry, that your business, demands. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Hi, I'm Ron Kraszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stifel. Financial advisors, if you're not growing your practice, you're losing market share. Stifel is a growing entrepreneurial, advisor-centric firm built for successful advisors like you. Imagine having the resources of the largest wirehouses and the support of the boutique shops, but none of the bureaucracy to get in the way of you serving your clients. At Stifel, it's your business, your book, your clients. I always tell the advisors we're recruiting, I want you to come to Stifel and double or triple your business. Most of them laugh and shake their heads, but I'm serious. Don't take it from me. Take it from Stifel's number one finish in J.D. Power's 2023 U.S. Financial Advisor Satisfaction Study. So there's a reason why 148 financial advisors joined Stifel last year. Come join us and find out why Stifel is the firm where success meets success. Visit www.choosestifel.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Talking with Anne McKerjee, she is CEO of Pernod Ricard North America. She's in our Bloomberg Interactive Broker studio. And I was thinking about, I mean, your brands, I had a list here. I should just have you do it. Absolut, Jameson, Kahlua, hard liquor, spirits, champagne. I mean, I'm leaving out a lot. I think there's 240 brands overall. We just talked about Screwball, super premium peanut butter flavored American whiskey. How do you think about changes to the portfolio, and whether it's expansions, getting rid of, how do you think about it?
So, you know, what's great about our portfolio is it's very premium, and we have...
And you want to keep that.
And we want to really keep that, because if you look at...
No two-buck chuck?
No. Well, you know, good for Trader Joe's. Okay, so, but what I tell you is, when you think about consumption of alcohol, right, we all don't drink the same thing every time we drink. When we want to celebrate, we want to drink champagne, right? We want to just relax and unwind. We might want a glass of bourbon, right? When we want to impress somebody, we might want to take out a very high-end cognac, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody drinks the same thing. Why they drink is the context in which they're in. So when you have the right premium portfolio that goes across all these different occasions, you actually have an advantage. And our strategy at Pernod Ricard is literally to activate more brands than our competition with the same cost to serve.
Huh.
So, but you have to do that if you know the science behind the demand, which brand belongs in which occasion, so you don't cannibalize yourself. So that
so
is
certain brands are really out front and center at certain times of the year, if you will.
So for instance, during St. Patrick's Day, it's Jameson, right? In the summer, you're drinking Malibu, right? So there are seasons, there are occasions. Sometimes some occasions are year long, right? So you have to then devise a portfolio, and that's how you decide which brands you buy and which ones you sell.
Your business model, it's like that Chumbawamba song, you know, you got a whiskey drink, a vodka drink, a cider drink.
You got it.
But, my Regan.
But at the same time, you know, we all do drink different drinks at different times for different occasions, but also just in general, I get the impression that liquor consumers are a fickle group, you know. One year it's craft beer is the hot thing. The next year it's seltzers. Yeah. The next year it's fine wine. So how do you get ahead of that as an executive in this industry?
So we actually monitor the trends around how people are drinking in segments. So on average in any given month, a consumer will drink about 45 drinks. Okay. That includes everything. Okay.
A month?
A month. 45. Right. So now, out of
those,
I'm a mega lightweight, but go ahead.
But what we've seen, and this is on average, right? Some people drink way less. Yeah. So what you see on average is before the pandemic, 45 of those drinks, 20 of them were beer, okay? After the pandemic, they've lost two whole drinks. There's only 18 of them now for beer. Mm-hmm. And what gained was your spirit RTDs, spirits themselves, wine also lost.
Ready to drink?
Yeah. It's on fire. It's on fire because people are walking away from beer. Then they went to malted RTDs, but they're like, eh, taste isn't so great.
How much is that growing, the RTD?
Oh, my God.
It's, for you guys?
For us, it's exponential growth. It's like 50%. Like, it's huge.
Year over year?
Yeah, it's huge.
But off a small base?
Off a small base.
Okay.
Off a small base.
Okay. Could it be a bigger base?
It could very much a bigger base. I mean, we have RTDs in Absolut. We have it in Malibu, Jameson. And at Absolut, we're just about to launch our ready-to-drink with Ocean Spray. You know, so you think about, you know, we were talking about the, you know, the wonderful cocktail that we're all used to, which is the Cosmo. And so here's the big thing. Consumers post-pandemic want cocktails conveniently, period. That's what it is.
Yeah, I'm not a good, I know people who are really into it and they get the gear and they're like, love it. I'm like, just give me the bottle, let me throw it over some ice.
Yeah, I'll tell you a great example. So this is helps you understand the occasion. Women will get together, call it once a week. They'll have book club, whatever. They'll drink their glass of Chardonnay. And that's fine because it's easy to pour. You know, after week of Chardonnay, you're like, I really want a cocktail. But nobody wants to make a cocktail. So we launched ready-to-drink Altos Margarita. And literally, all you do is pour it like you would wine, and it's an instant margarita. And I'm telling you, this thing is bar quality. And so now we're sourcing from wine as a tequila.
It's pretty wild. Like, you just get your head around it. But I sampled some over the summer and was really surprised at how good they were. Listen, we'd be remiss. We're Bloomberg. Booze, great leading indicator, especially because you play into the premium side of things, of how the luxury market is going right now. How are the numbers in terms of this economy and then going into next year? How would you describe it? How are you seeing it?
Yeah, so, you know.
Any slowdown?
We're getting past COVID, right? And COVID was a big boom. People were stocking up, et cetera, et cetera. The economy has been tough. We're seeing retailers actually bring down their inventories a bit because the cost of capital with interest rates is really, really hard.
Oh, that's interesting.
We have that whole global supply chain crisis. Now that's over. So what's happening is we're seeing resiliency in consumers drinking. So, you know, the sellout and what people are consuming. But now the inventory situation is kind of settling out. So when you look at the numbers, you know, from a net sales or a shipments perspective, it's lower than actually what people are buying because there's a little bit of over inventory in the industry. But if you ask me long term, you said those numbers in the beginning of the program, like about 6% CAGR, right?
Right.
Pre-pandemic, we were growing 4 or 5% every year. In the pandemic, it was double digits, right?
Yeah.
This is now the post-COVID kind of shakeout. And I think as you move forward, you're going to go right back to that 4 to 5%.
I love hearing about this. You've given us a snapshot on the economy. You and I and Mike were talking in the break about drinking responsibly.
Yes.
You guys have a campaign. We have about 45, 50 seconds left here. Just talk to us about that.
Yeah. So
I feel like you can't do one without the other.
Yeah. So we believe on return on responsibility as much as return on investment. Everything from working with the government to get the Halt Right Act to get breathalyzers in cars so you cannot drive if you are drunk. We do a Safe Nights program. We actually donated something called Engage Responsibly to stop hate online. And, you know, we're trying to do everything that we can to be responsible. And, you know, this call out to all my other competitors. We're working together. Let's work together. Let's make it the right thing
to do. I love
it.
So cars are going to be equipped. You cannot start your car if you have alcohol. When do we get this?
So it's a law, and now the car companies are trying to figure out
how
to get it done.
Company.
Exactly.
Come on, you got the UAW out of the way. Let's get this together. I know that is a very important issue for you, and we so appreciate you coming in. This was fun.
Thank you.
Come back soon.
I promise.
With champagne or without.
You got it. Next time I will be fully loaded.
I'm kidding. This was a great way to wrap up.
Thank you. You guys were great.
It's been so far a pretty crazy week. Anne McKerzie, she is CEO of Pernod Ricard North America in our Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio. Carol Masser, Mike Regan. This is Bloomberg.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way. From design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/greenfestival.